Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
It's Sunday morning. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up, the preacher is about to preach. We are going to have church up in here. Praise God. Praise God. Here's what I'd like for you to do, please. Take your Bible, find John chapter 4. We're not going to read from there right now, but if you'll go ahead and locate John chapter 4. In just a few moments, we're going to look at several verses there, and I'd like for you to go ahead and be there if you will. For those of you that are note takers, you take notes on a preacher, we're going to be very easy to follow and give you a title. We're going to give you 3 points. While you're locating John 4 in your Bible, iPad, iPhone, ever how you look at the Word of God, let me just mention to you that tonight we'd like to invite you back. We're going to have a very special favor and blessing service here tonight. I believe that all things are in place at Journey Fellowship Church. All we need is an added measure of the favor of God in our lives. That's what we need. So we're going to be having a favor and blessing service. We're going to be preaching on the favor of God. We're going to pray for all kinds of things, all kinds of places. We're going to pray for you, going to pray for the church. So come back and be a part of the favor and blessing service. Tomorrow night, we're going to call Miracle Monday night. If you need a miracle, come back tomorrow night. We're going to pray for you. Believe God. I still believe God's a miracle worker, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I don't want that to be a cliche from a preacher either that gets a few people to say amen. I'm telling you, I believe he's a miracle worker, ladies and gentlemen. I still believe that the God that did miracles in the Word wants to do miracles among us today. And so we're going to be preaching on that tomorrow night and praying for you specifically regarding that. So we encourage you to be back and bring people with you, if you will. I titled my message today, There Is a Story. There is a story. What I'd like to ask of you is for you to bear with me about 10 minutes. Because I'm going to be talking about my story about 10 minutes. You may be sitting there and going, when the preacher going to preach? And I promise you it's coming, but I need a little time here. So let's talk about a few things. Then we're going to go to John 4. I promise you I'm going to preach in just a few moments. There is a story. I love a good movie. Because I love a good story. In fact, if I find a good movie that's got a good story to it, I'll watch it more than once. I'll watch it over and over again. I mean, you know, in our house, the movies we watch over and over again is the Bourne movies. We like the Bourne because Jason Bourne needs my help to solve those problems, you know. If I find, you know, I'm a fan of true stories. If there's a movie out that's a true story, I really like it if it's based on real facts. You know, if you have kids or you've raised kids, you know this too. You know, children like to watch the same movies over and over and over again. And even though we're adults and we don't care about that children's movie, we can tell you the characters and the storyline because our kids watched it over and over and over and over again. I can't tell you how many times from my little daughter that one day 101 Dalmatians would turn into 303 Dalmatians. Because she wanted to watch it over and over and over again. And we talk about that word story, and you know what? Some people like to use that to kind of soften the blow. Have you ever heard this term? Oh, I just told a little story. No, you lied. I'm preaching better than you're amening right now, huh? No, we try to soften that up, don't we? You know, I just told a little story. No, you know, and some people tell lies they don't even know it. It's kind of funny, you know. You ever go to the dentist? This won't hurt, he says. It hurts. Don't do that to me. Is there any road construction going on in Texas right now? Oh, my. Man, that's the best response I've gotten from this church this morning. That woke you up. Yeah. That, this is one of my favorite things that just kind of makes me smile, and it's not really true. You're driving down the road, you see those signs that says men working and they're not? You see that? No, you might drive by that situation, you know, and there's one guy down in a hole and he's working his brains out, but 15 guys are watching him work. That's what I want to be, one of the 15. You know what I'm saying? I just want. So in reality, it's not. And so we're talking about stories now. You ever been sitting in a public restaurant and the people next to you are talking too loud and you're getting TMI from their story, and you just want to walk over to their booth and go, please use your inside voice, please, because we don't want to know everything about your story. The reality is that all of us in the room today have stories. We all do. If we were to take time and individually hear everybody's story, some of them would make us laugh. Some of them would make us cry. Some of them would make us think. Most of us in this service this morning have stories where parts of our life got real complicated. Maybe it was just for a season. Maybe it was a period of time. Maybe it was an event that brought that complication. And a lot of that complication was based on relationships. Don't miss this. Our relationship with God will have an adverse effect on our relationship with everybody else. If our relationship with God is not good and intact, it's going to affect all other relationships. One of the many things and the many reasons why we put revival on the schedule is to focus on our relationship with God. We all need to be closer to God. We all need to be working on that relationship. But friend, today, regardless of what your story looks like, regardless if you feel like you're in the middle of the most complicated days and times of your life, here's what I want every man, woman, and student in the house today to know and understand. Regardless of what it looks like, God will use our story for His glory. Regardless of what that looks like. See, I want you to verbalize that with me. Everybody say, God will use my story for His glory. One more time. God will use my story for His glory. Come on, church, do you believe that in the house today? Whatever has gone on and whatever has happened, God will use it. You see, we live in a day and time of relational realignments. And sometimes relationships end. Sometimes relationships, they shift on us. Some people are only in our life for a season, but hear me, everybody's in our life for a reason. There is a purpose. There's a even if it's a short time, there is a reason for that. See? How many in church today ever told a lie? Lift your hand. How many ever stole something? Raise your hand. How many been divorced? Raise your hand. How many ever failed at something? Raise your hand. How many ready for me to shut up? Raise your hand. That's what I thought right there. Oh, y'all looking at Pastor. Who you bringing here, huh? We don't like those questions because we don't want to talk about our failures, and we sure don't want to talk about it in church. I mean, some of y'all sitting there right now going, preacher, you didn't even have us bow our heads and close our eyes. We're supposed to do that when you're asking questions like that. But no, we got head up, eyes open, and you're asking us questions like that? Man. You know why? Because nobody wants to talk about their sins, their shortcomings, and their failures. Before I transition into the preaching of the word, want to talk to you about a failure that I had in my life. Most of you don't know me. My name's Lynn Wheeler. I've been through a divorce. March of 1999, my first marriage ended. At that moment, there was a knock on my door. I opened the door and divorce papers were served. Emotions hit me like I cannot describe. Over one half of you raised your hand a while ago when I asked the question, who have been through a divorce? So you understand a little bit of what I'm talking about. If you haven't been, maybe you've been touched by it. Maybe your parents, your friends, maybe your children, maybe somebody's been through it. Been tough. It's a failure. As I stood there, never dreaming this would be a part of my story, never dreaming that for the rest of my life I was going to have to fight off a stigma of that divorce preacher. Papers were served. Emotions overwhelmed me. Friends left me, but God redeemed me. Can I say that last part again? God redeemed me. Because I want to tell you that the God I'm preaching about today is not only a God who saves, but He redeems, ladies and gentlemen. In the face of all of our failures, our shortcomings, our revival, where we're working on our relationship with Him, what we need to know today is this: there's a Redeemer in the house. And if you're here today and the enemy is beating you up, beating you down, holding you back, I want you to know the same blood that saves you redeems you today, ladies and gentlemen. There is a Redeemer among us today. A Redeemer's in the house. I thank God that I'm able to preach on the redemptive grace of God. That in spite of all that's gone on in our lives and in our story, the Redeemer is all that matters today. He's a Redeemer. Now in John chapter 4, there's a story of a woman, and we never get to know her name. We only know her as the Samaritan woman. That's all we ever know her as. Her story and mine are similar, because Jesus met us both when broken relationships had complicated things in our lives. Jesus met us both. Let's take a look. Let's examine. If you've got your Bible open to John 4, I want you to know I don't always preach this way, but this morning I am. We're going to stay right there. We're going to unpack these verses and this story. So right there in John chapter 4. Point number one, I want everybody in the house to know. Come on, everybody smile, even if you got to fake it. I want you to know that Jesus meets our need for a friend. He meets our need for a friend. In John chapter 4, go with me to verse 6, please. Verse 6. The Bible said Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now, can we pause just for a moment? Let me do a little teaching around this that's going to really add value to this story. So when the scripture says it's about the sixth hour, here's what that means. It's straight up noon, folks. It's straight up noon. It's the heat of the day. Nobody goes to draw water at straight up noon in the heat of the day. It was customary. We can't relate to this today, but then it was customary. Just 60 seconds here of a little teaching and background to help us bring value to this story, okay? It was customary that every day the women would go and they would draw water from the well. Now, the women always came in the morning, as was the custom. And there were two reasons for that. Number one, because it wasn't quite so hot yet. And number two, because We're going to go get water in the morning, and we're going to get enough to last us all day long. So that was the reason. Typically, the women would all come together. They would come in the morning. They're beating the heat. Do you guys in Texas know what it is to have heat? So they were doing. That's what they would do, but not this woman. She came alone. She came in the heat of the day. You see, divorce was so frowned on. And she'd been divorced 5 times. So she chose not to come with all the other women. I'm going to wait until it gets hot, when I know that nobody else is going to be there. Maybe to avoid the gossip. Maybe to avoid the stares and the whispering. I don't want that. So I'm just going to go when it's really, really hot. All the other ladies came in the morning, but they didn't want her going with them. You see, she had a story that caused people to push her away. I don't want to be seen with that woman. So she came alone. But this day was different. Go down with me, please, to verse number 8. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Verse number 8 says his disciples had gone into town to buy some Big Macs. I'm sorry. Some of y'all going, "Really? Is that NIV? I didn't read that." I'm just messing with you, seeing who's awake here, all right? His disciples had gone into town to buy some food. Verse 9, look here. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Because remember now, Jews and Samaritans did not associate with each other. And again, we're going background here to bring power to the story, because it's a cultural issue also, ladies and gentlemen, that see, in that day and time, not only was it a deal with Samaritans and Jews, but Jewish men never spoke to women in public. It was a custom. You know, so Jesus is breaking all the rules right here. Because he's not focused on rules. He's focused on a broken woman. A broken life with a story where nobody else wants to be around her. So he's speaking in public to a woman. Verse 13, Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty." Watch verse 14, church. "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Verse 15, the woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Can I pause just right here before we read on in these verses and continue to unpack this and just say that you may have the same feeling with this woman today. You see what's happening here? This woman came to the well to get a drink of natural water, but Jesus gave her living water, ladies and gentlemen. And I want to start this revival by letting everybody in the house know and understand one of our greatest needs for refreshing today is something that only God can give. I want the Lord to pour out that living water on this house today, a water that we will never thirst just again, I want water to just begin to pour and us to begin to drink of the blessings and the favor of God all over this place. Every person here to experience the refreshing of water that only Jesus can give us. See, that's what I want. But now watch this. What's this? Verse 16. He told her, go call your husband and come back. Uh-oh. Jesus has just told, I'm going to give you water. You'll never thirst again. He's been preaching. Oh, she's excited. Really? But now Jesus has to bring something out. Go call your husband. And then y'all come back together. Verse 17. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus says to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. Verse 18. The fact is you've had five husbands. And the man you now have is not your husband. What you've said is quite true. Verse 19. Sir, the woman said, I can see you're a prophet. Uh-oh. Now it's not just something Jesus knows, because he knew her life before he ever spoke about her life. Amen. Now it's not just something he knows, he's put it out there. You've been married five times. I know your story. I know what you've been through. Friends, if we can imagine, here's a woman with a long history of broken relationships. Can you imagine five failed marriages? Think of all the angry words she must have heard. Think of all the angry words she might have even spoken in arguments and dissension. Five times. Think of all the rejection. Think of all the abandonment she must have felt. Every single failure pulling her further and further and further down. Five times. Watch this, church. Now she knows that Jesus knows. Now it has been spoken. You've had five failed marriages and you're living with somebody now that's not your husband. I know your story. But here's what I want you to notice through John 4. At no place in the Word of God will you notice that when Jesus brought it to light, he then abandoned her. He turned around and ran because Jesus brought her story to light. You've got a story. You have failed. You're hurting. But I'm going to stand right here because Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I'm not going to desert you. I'm not going to leave you. I know your story now, but I'm going to stand right here and be your friend. Can I tell you, child of God, Jesus knows every story in this house. He knows where you've been. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. But I want you to know he's not running out on you either. He's not abandoning you either. He's going to stay right here regardless of how many times you think you failed. You've messed up and failures have pushed you down and down. There is still living water being poured out to God's people in this house. And that same Jesus that stood at the well with her is walking the aisles of Journey Fellowship Church right now to receive you. Receive your story right now. He's not going to abandon you either, friend. He's going to stay right there. Jesus meets our need for a friend. We need it. Number two, I want you to know this. Jesus meets our need for forgiveness. for forgiveness. Whenever divorce papers were served to me, kinds of emotions began to run through my life. One of the things that I believe that was a lie from the devil is that I cannot continue in ministry as a divorce preacher. So I began to make preparations to leave full-time ministry. I went through 3 of 7 interviews with Edward Jones Financial Investments. I was going through these interviews. We were making plans where I'm going to set my office up. I'm leaving the ministry because I believe the lie of the devil that I cannot continue because of this failure in my life. So I was going through this situation where I'm out in Phoenix, in Mesa, Arizona, and I'm preaching. And it's the month of May, and I'm kind of going through the summer. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach the rest of my calendar out. So I'm in my motel room before church that night, and I'm kind of partly praying, and I'm partly meditating, and I'm partly giving God instructions. Y'all never give God instructions? Yeah. This is the holiest church I've ever preached in. Man, y'all are holy, aren't you? So I'm telling God what we're going to do. You ever do that? Huh? That work out for you? It didn't work out for me. So I'm saying to the Lord, I'm saying, okay, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach my schedule through the summer, September. We're going to open this office up, and I'm going to start a new life. And I'm kind of telling God, I'm not only telling God what we're going to do, I'm telling God time frames. We're going to do it, and here's when we're going to do it. All of a sudden, the phone rang. I answered the phone. On the other end of the line's a colleague of mine, an evangelist, John Davis from Missouri. And he said to me, he said, Lynn, he said, I was just praying for you and I know what you're going through. And he said, listen, I got a word for you. And God told me to call you and tell you this. That's all right. But really in the back of my mind, church, I'm thinking, I just told God what we're doing. He knows. So in my mind, I'm just being honest with you now, okay? I'm just telling the truth. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm just thinking, okay, I've already given God the instructions, and so, okay, sirrah, sirrah. That's what I'm thinking. You know, whatever will be, but go ahead. If it'll make you feel better, John, you give me the word, you know? And so here's what John Davis, I remember like it was yesterday. Here's what John said to me. He said, Lynn, God wants you to know this. God wants you to know as a result of what you're going through, there will be a group of friends walk out of your life. But God wants you to know this. There will be a new group of friends that walk into your life, and they will be stronger than the ones that walked out. Can I tell you that here in 2017, that prophetic word has come to pass in my life. Some of my closest friends, I did not even know in 1999 when they said, you know why? Because Jesus is going to meet our need for a friend. But I want you to know this too. He always knows that we need other people too. So he's going to send reinforcements, ladies and gentlemen. He's going to send reinforcements. But the thing is, we don't just need a friend. We need forgiveness. We need a Savior. Can I tell you that I'm not here today to throw stones or cast guilt? I'm going to tell you today, I probably could have done some things different. I'm going to tell you today that it wasn't all her fault. I messed up. I said some things. I did some things. I better preach up here. Y'all not safe out there. Huh? I need forgiveness. I needed grace. I don't just need a friend. I need forgiveness. I don't only need forgiveness from him. I need forgiveness from other people too. I need forgiveness all the time. Folks, it's not even noon yet. I've already needed forgiveness today. Amen. I'm sorry. I forget how holy y'all are. Forgive me. Huh? Huh? Forgive today. And Jesus meets that need for forgiveness. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Help us, God. I not only needed a friend, I needed forgiveness. The Samaritan woman needed a friend. She needed forgiveness. If I could speak into your life right now and let you know, you need a friend and you need forgiveness. Third, final point. Thank you for not clapping for that. Amen. Jesus meets our need for a fresh start. A fresh start. You see, the woman needed a fresh start. Lynn Wheeler needed a fresh start. My friends that stuck with me loved me, but they couldn't give me a fresh start. My family loved me, but they couldn't give me a fresh start. The church loved me, but they couldn't give me a fresh start. Jesus is the only one that could give me a fresh start. Watch this, down to verse 25. Watch the word of God. It says this. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Catch this, church. Catch verse 26. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. I am he. Saying to the woman, the Messiah is not coming, he's here. Saying to the woman, he's not on the way, I'm standing right here by you, right next to you. You've heard about it, and you've heard that the Messiah's coming, but now the Messiah is here. I don't know what you've heard through your life. I don't know what your story looks like. You may be able to relate to me. You may not be able to relate to me. But the fact is, I want us to know the Messiah is here. He's not coming. He's here. Revival's not coming. It's here, ladies. What are we going to do with it? Because the King of Glory is here, ladies. He is here. And he wants to give everybody in the house a fresh start today, to wipe that slate clean, to forgive you of all your sin, to redeem you from all of your failures, and today give you a fresh start. The glory of God and the Messiah, the only one that can, is in the house today to give you a fresh start. Does anybody else need a fresh start besides me here today? I need a fresh start. Jesus said to the woman, I'm here. It's me. Verse 28. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. This woman, who before they wouldn't listen to and they wouldn't want to be around, she was a failure. But now something changed. Some kind of countenance is different. Her words are different. She's met a man that's given her a fresh start, that's given her a drink of living water, that's changed everything, and it got everybody's attention. I don't want you to sit there and say that preacher's going old school on us, but I do still believe this, ladies. I think when Jesus comes into your life, it ought to change you. I still think you shouldn't talk like you used to talk and go where you used to go and act like you shouldn't act. I know it's not popular preaching today, but I believe that Jesus changes people. And when this woman went back to town, they said, something's different about her. We better go find out, is this the Messiah? And the Bible said people started coming. She went for a drink of water, but found the living water. I know in this place, there are people here today, and your dreams have been shattered and scattered. I'm not trying to call attention. The four or five of you have been wiping tears from your face the whole time I've been preaching, because something's resonating with you. You never thought your story would look like this. I never thought my story would look like this. Do you think that woman thought her story would look like that? She never dreamed as a little girl growing up. That's the way my life is going to go. Some things happen that we don't plan, and they become a part of our story. You're in the house today, and your dreams have been shattered, and they're scattered in a million directions. But I want you to know, God's a God of fresh starts. Even while I'm preaching, I'm praying that God would begin to resurrect dreams all over this church right now. That whatever that's inside of you that you feel like has died and you'll never get it back, this morning, you're going to get it back in this place. Your story may be complicated, but it's not over. Because Jesus is in the house today, and He's in the house to change the end of your story. He's going to change the end of your story. You think it's headed one direction, and you can't get forgiveness, and you're going to have no friends the rest of your life, and Jesus doesn't even care, but I want you to know He sees every tear that falls from your face. He knows you cry yourself to sleep. He knows you feel despair and hurt and heartache, wondering, how did I get to this place? I'm sure the woman found that too, but the God of fresh starts is at Journey Fellowship Church this morning, and He's going to breathe a fresh breath across this place, and a fresh wind across this place, and a fresh revival, and a fresh spirit that's moving, and it's going to get down inside of some people that's ready for a fresh start in your life that's going to change everything. That fresh start not only going to change you, it's going to change this church. I'm going to testify right now. I'm going to tell you how God gave me a fresh start. I'd like the media booth to put a picture of my wife up on the screen, please. I'd like to introduce you all to my wife, Diana. Last week, we celebrated 11 years of marriage. Last week. Fresh starts. See? Now let me pause just for a minute and just deal with something. I thank you guys for not saying it out loud, but I know what y'all sitting there thinking, how'd he get her? I know what you're thinking. You didn't say it, but you're thinking, let me answer that, all right? I'm going to answer that question. It don't matter. Come on, men, it don't matter, does it? We just got them. Yeah, baby, we just got them. That's right. 11 years. Because God's a redeemer and a God of fresh starts. And He cares where we are. Your story continues, but the end changes today. I'm closing. Don't miss it. Because our life is not a snapshot, it's a video. The devil wants to take a snapshot of that moment, that failure, that sin, that bad decision, and use that against you. Look at that. But God's here today to say, it's ongoing. It's still happening. It's still a video. You're not dead yet. Fresh starts are still in place. And I close with this. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23 says this: because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. Can I say that again? His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. If you serve a faithful God, put your hand in the air right now. Praise God. I serve a faith. Just give Him praise for being faithful to you right now. Would you? I thank you, Lord. You've been faithful. You've been faithful to me. A God of fresh starts.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.